Officer Asta, and then also our board director, executive director, Ms. Anthony. And for formality, can we do roll call, Gail?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell? Dr. Spat?
Here.
Dr. Rubin? We have quorum.
Number two, are there any conflicts of interest with the agenda that board members have? Moving on to number three, suitability statement. So filing this policy, we'll be asked to modify your behavior. If you don't modify your behavior, we'll disconnect you from this call. Number four, if the board's all right with this, I'd like to take number 4A and run it all the way to 4P and call.
And I'll need still moved. Mr. Dr. Rubin, still moved.
I think that's a second. Can we have a formal vote?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spat?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
That brings us into number five. Let's go along with 5A. Case number 20145. Ms. Dr. Zoll, are you calling?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is the one that we had the power issue with.
Yes. Yes. This is case number 20-145. On April 13th, 2020, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a notice from the Arizona Department of Health Services outlining an apparent discrepancy between the number of medical marijuana certifications issued by respondent between July 1st, 2019 and December 31st, 2019, and the number of CSPMP database queries respondent performed during that time frame. According to the notice, respondent certified 28 patients for medical marijuana during that time frame and queried the database only 16 times. On April 14th, respondent was notified of the complaint and asked to respond to the information provided by DHS. In her response, the board dated, April 21st, 2020, respondent offers her explanation and corrective action taken to address the matter. Respondent stated during July 1st through December 31st of 2019, she had frequent staff turnover, which resulted in training deficiencies for processing medical marijuana certifications. Respondent submitted her outline corrective steps for processing the certifications. On April 24th, a subpoena was issued to respondent for the names and dates of birth of all patients she certified for medical marijuana during the above-mentioned timeframe. The information was received and six patient charts were subpoenaed for review. In review of the records, it appears respondent is inconsistent with performing appropriate physical examinations. In many instances, even vitals are not performed. When certifying a patient for medical marijuana, the physician attests to performing an appropriate physical examination. The certifying physician attests to review of the patient's prior medical records. When prior medical records are not available, reflecting a diagnosis for which the patient is certified, The physician who certified the patient is also the one who makes the diagnosis. Appropriate physical examination, labs, and diagnostics are oftentimes required to make the appropriate diagnosis. Additionally, under number four, the certifying physician attests to review of the patient's response to conventional medications and medical therapies. Respondent does not consistently chart medications or therapies tried and results prior to issuance of the certification.
And Dr. Hall, I know last time you spoke, so we'll have you all back in and address that for us, please.
As I submitted my corrective action initially, that that Gail read, to the issue about the PMP, that was a training issue, and we have put into effect, I think, a very robust corrective action in terms of the procedure that and also training that we're doing in the office. In terms of the certification process and the review of records, that is also something that, while not stated in the corrective action, is something that definitely, being much more comprehensive in terms of intake, in terms of, all the procedures that were deficiencies that were mentioned. So I have really, at this point, nothing else to add other than going forward, and ever since this originally was brought to my attention by the board, there has been a significant, in my opinion, improvement in terms of all of the steps that Gail was reading, in terms of physical exam, being sure that vitals are taken, being sure that any diagnosis that is made, that a patient comes to me with, I have documentation that is reviewing that, to be able to review that. And, other than that, I don't really have anything to say. This has been definitely a wake-up call, shall we say, and I believe that I have taken all the steps necessary to do the corrective action.
And I think, Dr. Rubin, I'm going back over my notes from the last meeting. I don't know if you were cut off or if you had finished your comments.
Thank you, Dr. Sedler. This is Dr. Davis. I had been talking about patient AA and patient SR, and that regardless of the MMJ certification failure to check PMP, I felt that these charts did not meet the minimum requirements for a physician license through our board, and that I would want to actually see some chart notes before we this would sort of be an additional thing. They were inadequate check notes. And I had outlined them. I have notes, and I take everybody through them if you want me to. I'll see you guys.
I don't know if
you have
any comments, Dr. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to refer to in our board packet, general 181. Dr. Spatt, are you able to hear me?
Right now, I can.
Okay. What saying is that there's somebody who was unmuted on this call, and so something they may have muted, but I'm asking everybody who's on the board, please check your phone so I may continue.
Go ahead, Dr. Rubin, I can hear you.
Thank you. Okay. So, Thursday, June 19th, and basically, I don't know if you want to differ from Trevor's test. I think this is a patient who is really aware of really understanding the patient's condition, anxiety, and insomnia. There was no diagnosis listed. There was a diagnosis of IBS. I couldn't see how it was associated with the medical marijuana. Then this chart was in pain with my patient. If somebody is coming into MMJ, if somebody has to say, oh, I'm just in the bathroom. So, they're from workup. They're in the lab. They also lab meeting. Another physician can't pick up and understand what lab, what lab they were in. Then, on page 198, I'm going to right now, Jenner.
Dr. Rubin, I can't hear you.
Okay, let me switch phones. Is this Dr. Rubin said that?
Yes, that's better.
Yes, this is Dr. Zetto. Yes, now I can.
Okay, Dr. Zetto. Okay, on page 198, which is a Sonora Quest rec form, collected 8/6/19. The diagnosis codes look like utter fatigue and, I believe, let me go back to my notes, IBS with pain. And it looks like what was tested was vitamin D, estradiol, metabolic profile, and TSH. I was just saying I was mixed up. The same thing with the other case, which was case SR. I have a list of basically the same issues, and then I basically stopped taking my time and looking from there because I was already at a point where I deemed it insufficient. That's my comment outside of the MMJ-PNT issue. Thank you.
Dr. Popeil, your comments?
No, I would definitely second what Dr. Rubin was saying. I agree looking at AA, FR, a number of those patient charts were generally almost all of the ICD-10 codes from these patients. A lot of medical marijuana certifications were lacking, any sort of significant PPE on them, and even a couple of them lacking actual medicine, again, ICD-10 code. So I thought the chart number significantly lacking on almost every one of the six patients that were given as examples. I don't think most people would be able to follow some of the trains of thought, how we got to the decision-making, how we got to the diagnosis, if there even was a diagnosis method.
No, I don't really comment on this panel, and I agree with what Dr. Rubin and Dr. Popeil were saying, but I don't really comment on this. Okay. Ms. Davis?
No additional comment.
And, Ms. Davis?
Comments from the other.
Thank you.
Dr. Campbell?
Yes, I can.
Just to briefly talk about the
explanation and highlighting the corrective action that you've taken. I just want to emphasize that, you know, when we are provided a document, a government document, to attest to place our signature on, I think that could have to be, and it's a direct thing that is placed in the profession that will allow doctors to take confidence in the signature that they're witnessing on the document. And so, when incidences like this come up, and we can realize that signatures are placed on the document or the action that was attested to did not take place, that has directly impact the credibility of the entire profession. And so it's crucial. Documentation and how you've taken steps to improve that. We've heard some very valid concerns from your colleagues who sit on the board respective to specific issues that they've noted. Most seriously being that if one of your patients was transported for immediate care, the hypothesized emergent situation, that the next physician that would pick up your chart notes might not be able to adequately diagnose and then care for that patient in the way that they would want to be able to, being that a physician had just seen and the value of that patient. And with that being said, would you like to respond to any of those concerns further?
No, I have no argument in the comments that anyone has made, and certainly going back and looking at these charts and notes and details, I certainly see the deficiency.
Okay, all callers, please mute yourself. Dr. Lyle, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, I really did not have anything additionally to add. My chart noting, quite honestly, and as I'm looking at this and going back, has been more shorthand to myself, and I realized that is definitely deficiency, that for continuation of care, this has written as though somebody who's never seen this patient and who does not know the case at all needs to be able to have the full totality of understanding the case from my notes alone. And that is something that I am, certainly well reminded of with this situation, and have been, working very, very hard on, since then. I can't go back and change any of these notes, obviously, but going forward, this has definitely been a huge learning situation.
I have a question.
Yeah, I've just got it.
I just have a quick question. Weren't you available of the requirements for certifying medical marijuana? I mean, I see the, I'm hearing the corrections that you've made to your process. Were you just unaware of what was required for certifying?
No, I was not unaware.
I know you were just talking about the chart notes. I apologize if you covered this last week. I had to recuse myself.
what steps are you taking to improve the chart notes? Are you moving to an EHR system? How are you planning on improving your chart notes?
I'm not planning on moving to an EHR system at this time, not at this time, although it's something that I am considering for the future, just for the sake of expediency. But I have, so now, and it, you know, I mean, quite, and I'm just being honest, but as I'm seeing patients throughout the day, oftentimes I would wait until the end of the day to update all, you know, to complete my chart notes. And I'm not doing that anymore. So now it's actually a patient encounter basis. So I'm not relying on memory or an interruption or any of those other things to have, to definitely, and have definitely improved my chart noise. I mean, my charting. Not just saying that I hope that I am, but I absolutely am doing it.
That's about here. Were you working at a clinic, or was this your clinic?
This is my clinic.
Okay.
I'd like the members of the board to say I have to. I believe Dr. Popiel just said, Dr. Popiel, that he had to repeat himself as a path for me in relation to this matter. I don't believe that's the right term. I just wanted to clarify.
I'm sorry. I have an emergency and have to leave. So I apologize.
That's okay. Thank you.
Would anyone like to come up with closure for the things? We have a letter of concern. We have a letter of concern with DME. Various options. So I'm going to ask the board what they thought are.
This is Dr. Rubin. May I speak? Thank you, Dr. Sedler. Well, for me, I need to see cases. I can't take it face value based on what we've seen here. I think the board needs to take a look at some cases before, or we can close the door on the OJ and open a new case, wherever we think is best to look at cases. But at this point, I think it's our duty to check our cases. That said, I have a question for Dr. Zeil. Dr. Zeil, are you the one checking the box? This is, and I think somebody just asked you this, and are you the one checking the PMP? And I forgot who said it. I apologize. I just need to hear it for myself.
Yes, that is part of the corrective action, and yes, I am.
Okay, thank you.
I am the only one here who's certified. You know, who has been seeing patients for certification for their MMJ.
Okay.
And excuse me, Dr. Dr. Saldick. Dr. Rubin, when you say chart, are you referring to charts or case? Because you're saying cases. Are you referring to patient charts?
This is Dr. Rubin. Correct. I would like to see more patient chart notes of using the current methodology that Dr. Zeil was talking about.
Okay.
So, Dr. Rubin, if I may ask, is that relative to MMJ certification or charting in general?
Dr. Zeil, we haven't decided on that yet. Thank you.
Oh, I see.
I'm sorry. No problem. This is Dr. Popiel, and I believe the only way that we can enforce that issue is through a consent agreement or postponing the case until we see follow-up chart notes. Is that correct?
Ms. Esther, what's your thought?
Sounds so correct. Yeah.
So we have the option then, as you said, Dr. Phil, was to bring her back and perhaps 60 days or 90 days, whatever the board would like, and then re-examine, as Dr. Rubin said, chart notes at that point, or come to some type of consent agreement. We have to state that, and then have Ms. Anthony and Ms. Asa, you know, draw that off.
Okay.
it might be easiest to utilize the 60 to 90 day and bring her back in the interim, hold this case if it's available to you, Ms. Asset.
If the board seeks to review the matter further with more sharp
Ms. Asta, we already have a case opened. I believe that the motion would be to continue the investigation.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. This is Dr. Ingerman. I move to continue this case for 60 days, in which time I would like to have presented to the board three additional cases that include at least two patients who were recommended for medical marijuana, and all cases must have at least three visits between by the time we see the cases, and they need to begin sometime after a date that we will come up with. I just have to, and this is sometime after, hang on. January 1, 2020.
So, let me clarify. You would like her to present three additional cases after this date of 9/10 for review?
I will restate my motion. I move that we continue this case for an additional 60 days, which will give respondent time to submit three additional cases, two cases of which must include NMJA recommendations, and all three cases must include at least three visits to the doctor, and all cases must be sometime between January 1st, 2020 and the date of submission of her cases.
And if her medical cannabis certification for just one visit per patient, how would you like to handle that?
They would not qualify under my motion.
Okay, so you're asking that she have how many contacts with the certified patient? Oh, I think she's even done that, okay.
Okay. I'm going to ratify my motion one time,
okay.
And I will ratify it that each of the three patients need at least two visits to Dr. Zio instead of three.
Is that possible?
Well, yes, I'm sure it's possible.
Okay. So Dr. Rubin made the motion, and I'll second his motion. And does anyone have any other comments or suggestions on his motion? Can you go ahead and take roll call on the
Yes, Dr. Sadlick, thank you. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt? Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Dr. Powell. We'll be in touch with you.
All right, thank you, everyone.
All right, thank you, Dr. Rubin. We're going to move on to case number 5B of the boy. This is case number 20-129, and Dr. Gio Franco. Is he on the line?
I am on the line. This is Dr. Gio Franco.
Dr. Franco, and Gio, can you give us an overview of this case?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, on August 29, 2019, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received an email from Dr. John Denbor alleging, quote, unethical actions on the part of Dr. Franco. Dr. Denbor alleges in early to mid-August, Dr. Franco employed his friend and colleague, Jesse Haggard, to terminate 30 to 35 patients from the SMART program. The list of patient names provided by Dr. Denbor that were terminated at up to 19. Dr. Denbor alleges this termination took place without his knowledge and without notice of referral. Additionally, Dr. Denbor alleges Dr. Franco accessed a HIPAA-encrypted database. According to his response, Dr. Franco stated, quote, my naturopathic medical license has nothing to do with this company. I was simply an investor and business owner. With respect to HIPAA violation, I have never accessed any HIPAA-protected HPI from this company. Although I did not access the data, I was entitled to access the data well within the company's standard operating procedure and HIPAA regulations. With respect to patients being terminated, I have provided email proof that Dr. Denbor was fully aware of the patients were just being placed on temporary hold for a few weeks while we figured out insurance coverage, not terminated. Dr. Denbor replied in an email on August 15, 2019, quote, this makes me feel much better. I was under the impression they would be on hold, on long holds, or permanently terminated. It appears much of this complaint is based on the business and administrative operations of the company. The allegations, which may relate directly to Dr. Franco and for which the board has jurisdiction, are potential termination of patients without providing appropriate continuity of care and HIPAA violation for accessing patient records. Associated statutes with these violations are ARS 3215-0131-R, S, and T.
Dr. Franco, can you go ahead and give us the rundown on
this? Yeah, so just there's so many details, and I'm trying to save you guys time, unless you guys want a little bit of entertainment. But these patients are not my patients. I purchased the company from a psychologist, and they were his patients. And it turns out that this psychologist was a con artist. Claimed to be a neuropsychologist, conning people, conned me. I purchased the company, and within 2 weeks, learned that this company was riddled with fraud. Millions of dollars in fraud, learned about it, and then we met with him, and then he kind of paying attention. These were not my patients, they were his patients. And they were actually defrauded, and their copay for insurance would be waived. We terminated him, this psychologist. We terminated him. I also provided the termination documents. And we terminated him with theft. It was pretty bad. And I'm just trying to be very, very brief. But he actually states in one of his responses that he actually did the appropriate referral once he learned. But the reality of the situation is I never made any orders that came from me. There was a board meeting. We had three board members, including him, and it was a unanimous decision to put these patients on hold. He was treating these patients because his insurance dropped him. All these insurance companies were dropping him. He has some serious misconduct. His license is currently suspended at the psychology board, 13 complaints. We hired another psychologist who took over, and when we hired her, she said, oh, we better make a complaint. She said, I better make a complaint too, because this is what he had been doing was really bad. This complaint and some of these details of this complaint do tie into item 5C, which is the complaint 2140 with Jesse Haggard. I asked Jesse as a friend. I never hired Jesse. He was knowledgeable because of his family's chiropractic businesses that he's done some office administration. This practice here was completely insurance, all like insurance. I asked Jesse to analyze and try to help us administratively become more efficient. And that was Jesse's role. So I kind of brought him into this, but we both of us, I mean, and Jesse doesn't have a license, I also did not see or meet one patient. But there was no harm done here whatsoever, nor decisions from myself or Jesse. We provided affidavits from all the staff. And as I said in my response to this board, this complaint should be dismissed, and it's completely retaliatory because we terminated this individual 3 days prior to the complaint. We were actually waiting because we had all his emails, and we were actually expecting, because he said preemptive board complaint as a plan to kind of get back at me. There was no harm in our patients, nothing was done, and we just had a dysfunctional sociopath who. Well, not to give you the details, I mean, this is probably boring to you guys, but after we fired him, besides his work complaints, he called the FBI, he called he's making a whole bunch of complaints against me to intimidate me to not pursue legal action against him. Apparently bankrupted him, applied for bankruptcy the day before his deposition. There's a lawsuit. And by the time I'm done with this individual, he'll never see another patient again for the rest of his life. He was lying to people for 10 years in this city, stating as a neuropsychologist he could help them with their dementia, but it was all a lie. He flunked out of school. He was cheating all the insurance companies. His license was under probation, and he never disclosed it to me or the board members of the company. So just a dysfunctional person with $20 million of fraud charges. If this guy doesn't find himself in prison for 10 years in the near future, I wouldn't be surprised. So that's why I gave this board enough evidence. On top of the allegations against me, I went a little further. I always feel the burden of proof is if somebody wants to, accuse me of something, they should prove it. And what I've done is I've actually proved in the response that he's actually committed the crimes that he's accusing me of. I provided an email from January before I met him of him terminating patients. And he provided medical records trying to insinuate that Jesse Haggard, and Jesse kind of got brought into this because of me doing me a favor. But it was actually Jesse was the one who discovered copyright infringement. And so there's a little bit of a retaliation against Jesse as well. And so this individual, the complainant, he provided a chart note that had Jesse's name in there. And, well, the only way that he could have had access to that chart note is if he breached the HIPAA record that was on his patient, and that was a patient was seen a month after he was terminated. So we're dealing with a really bad criminal. So, but yeah, so Jesse and myself, we never saw patients at all, and that's why I would like this case dismissed. And if you'd like any more details about what I said, I'm happy to oblige. I'm not happy that the complaint doesn't seem to be on the line. It would be great to hear from him so I could use everything that he, all the lies he said the next week in his deposition, which I'll do by November. But you guys have any questions for me?
Ms. Anthony, this didn't come from an actual patient that Dr. Franco saw. It came from the complainant, so we don't have any patients that have made a complaint about lack of care, lack of charting, et cetera. It's basically just a complaint, which is Denbor, Dr. Denbor, correct?
Dr. Salik, members of the board, you are correct, Dr. Salik. We have no patient complaints.
Okay. I'm trying to dismiss it, but I need to hear back from the other board members as to how they're viewing this.
This is Dr. Popio. After looking at everything that Dr. French has submitted, everything all the inconsistencies in Dr. Stenbauer's statements, et cetera, there's no reason that we wouldn't dismiss the case, in my opinion.
Other board members, comments?
This is Dan. Massive waste of our professional time, and I can't wait to dismiss this case. It's terrible. One of our doctors had to be dragged through this by somebody who we'll have comments reserved otherwise, and I will get into this.
Okay. Any other board members have questions for Dr. Franco? I'll make a motion then that this case be dismissed on Dr. Franco, and I'll need a second.
Dr. Popio, I'll second the motion.
That's a second, and then there's no further discussion. Ms. Anthony, do roll call.
Dr. Salik, members of the board. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen? Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thanks, Dr. Frank.
Yes. Dr. Salik, members of the board, on August 29, 2019, the board received a complaint from Dr. John Denbor alleging Jesse Haggard is practicing medicine without a license in conjunction with smart brain aging. Dr. Denbor alleges Dr. Franco employed his friend and colleague Jesse Haggard to terminate 30 to 35 patients. Dr. Denbor supplied the board with a cover sheet for a test given on 9/26 of 2019. In which the examiner name section reflects Jesse Haggard, alleging this to be proof of Jesse Haggard, that Jesse Haggard is seeing patients as a, quote, examiner. When the full patient file was requested by this investigator, Dr. Denbor failed to produce it. The full patient record was produced by Dr. Franco, in which indicates that the test was provided by Dr. Tracy Moreno, who is a psychiatrist, And Kimberly Thompson, a neuropsychology technician, according to Dr. Franco, Jesse Haggard was testing different software and just put his name in the raw data. Evidence was found on several internal emails of Jesse Haggard's use of the designation doctor, both in signature line and the email address itself. During a search of the internet at large, evidence was found of Jesse Haggard's use of the designation Dr. Dr. NNMD. Jesse Haggard stated in his response, "My use of the prefix doctor was in no way to misrepresent myself to you, the staff, or the public. I do not have a current license to practice medicine, nor do I consult, diagnose, treat, or practice medicine on any patients." The associated violations with these allegations would be ARS 3215-55A1 and 2, 32-32-27, and
32-32-13. Jesse, any comments?
Yes, this is Jesse Hacker, and I did not see any patients that were working physically from home and logged in and testing out different psychology software and so forth. But also the doctor terminology has come up. I have a degree of doctor of naturopathic medicine, and I use that title to consult, teach, write content, and volunteer with my education as a doctor. And I thought it appropriate to use that to communicate to people that I do have that education. But if it seems to be inappropriate to this board, I would be glad to stop doing that. But also, I am a volunteer for the Low Carb Diabetes Association, and the other board members are mostly doctors, and my name appears next to theirs as a doctor, and I did not do that. That was whoever generated the website for the organization, and nobody had complained about it, and so this came to me as a little bit of a surprise that it might be an issue.
And you graduated Southwest, what year?
2003.
2003, okay. Board members, questions that you have? Let's start off with, how about Dr. Campbell?
Thank you. Personally, realizing that he is not practicing medicine under the definitions of state law. He is a degree, a doctor of naturopathic medicine, and so there's the fact that he's called doctor by title, but not during the actual practice of medicine. No different than my title, being called doctor with a PhD. That's really the only problem that I have.
Thank you. Ms. Tibbetts?
I don't have any comments or questions.
Ms. Gallon?
I don't have any questions right now.
Dr. Rubin?
I don't have any questions. I do appreciate Dr. Campbell's comments regarding the title of doctor. I agree with the old doctor. I just don't know if we have statute or law or something that prohibits somebody that holds a degree of doctor in naturopathic medicine to use the protected designation of MD or NMD in the state of Arizona in terms of licensing work, so they can hold a license in the state of Arizona. That would be the only thing that I think the board would need to examine. And if we need to go into executive session for such, I can move on back.
Go ahead, Dr. Rubin, and go ahead and we'll move to executive.
Make a motion to go to executive session for advice on using the protective designation and gear NMD in the state of Arizona.
Okay, board members, we're going to be moving then to our executive session line.
I'm sorry. I would need a second and a vote on that, please.
We got multiple
seconds. I don't think it was a request for advice, but it was not mentioned legal advice and other statutes. That would be a requirement. So if you could rephrase that, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Can I rephrase what? Sorry.
Yes, sir. Could you rephrase that for us?
Yes, this is Dr. Dan Rubin. I move to go into executive session for advice on the use of the protected title NMD in the state of Arizona.
For legal advice. Okay, thank you. All right, we'll go ahead and move to connect with everyone over on the other line.
So I need a second and a vote, please. Is there a second? Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell? Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
It is 12:25. We will be going into executive session.